This download is the only extract the BBC has of this edition of Desert Island Discs. The presenter was Roy Plumley.
My mother started her career at Daly's Theatre. Now, Daly's Theatre used to stand where Warner's Theatre is, the cinema in Leicester Square. Mm. The stories are many that she tells me about show business, how it was in those days, what a wonderful business it was. For instance, in those days, they used to rehearse for 13 weeks. I mean, when you think that I put a show on in 4 days now...
Yes.
They rehearsed for 13 weeks without any pay.
Wow.
But, of course, the result was a wonderful show. And, of course, George Edwards was a wonderful showman, a wonderful man to work for. And the shows from London were put out on tour, but nobody went from the London show on tour. No, you had the number one touring company, the number two touring company, the number three touring company. And each of those companies had their own train... Mm. Which took them to their destination. And that was, you know, to my mind, show business.
Did your parents work together?
Yes. My father was a comedian. My mother became a comedienne.
Yes.
She was very lovely, and nobody believed that she could be a comic. And she had to sort of prove it, you know, by making herself up funny.
What did they call themselves?
They called themselves Callan and Emery. My mother's maiden name is Callan. She's Irish, you see.
Yes.
They did a double act for years. They went all over the world, Australia... Africa.
Did you travel with them as a youngster?
Yes, not as far afield. I travelled with them in England. I went on tour when I was 3 weeks old.
Did you?
Then I toured from that age up to about the age of six. The touring in those days was really tough. You know, you'd be on a train on Sunday and you'd be shunted into a siding in the train and have to stay there sort of half a day. I was a very cheerful little thing, though, on tour. I remember we used to get to these awful towns on a November night, looking for digs, a Sunday night. And there I'd be singing away a little song. I always sang, All the nice girls love a sailor. And there's a little bit in it which goes, First he flirts with Kate and Jane. And I always sang, First he flirts with Plate and Jane, then he's off to see her again. I don't know why, but that was my version.
Mm-hmm.
And
just to keep her spirits up.
Yes, yes, and I did too. And I used to sit on a little leather portmanteau bag that they carried about with them when I was tired.
Was it taken for granted that you'd go into the profession?
No. When I was about 8 or 9 years of age, my mother and father... parted, and a mother wanted me to have a home life because having been on tour all those years, so she did a wonderful job. She gave up show business and she took up journalism, and we lived on £1 a week.
Really? What was your ambition as a kid?
As a child? I don't know. There's so many things. I left school at an early age because I'd been to so many different schools that school, I found it difficult to settle in any school. I had not a good schooling.
What did you do when you left?
I was an office boy.
And after that?
After that, many things. I went on a farm, but I'm afraid it was no good for me. Then I went into journalism with my mother, helped her out on many things she did in journalism, writing myself. Then I was in chorus in show business, did a lot of chorus work. But then came a time when I discovered I had a singing voice, and I thought, well, now I must give up show business because I must be in one place, and most shows were on tour. So I got a job as a chauffeur to stay in London and study. And then that lasted 3 weeks, by the way. And then I got a job as a driving instructor.
Mm-hmm.
And that lasted for 3 years and helped me a great deal with the vocal training.
Yes. What interrupted your singing studies?
The war. Just before the war, I had made arrangements to go to Italy to study under Tetrazzini. And the war came, and of course nobody was allowed out of the country.
Yes.
And I was going to be called up at any moment.
So you were called up into the RAF?
Into the RAF.
Yes.
The dear old RAF.
Any entertaining in uniform?
Yes. I was at St. Evil in Cornwall was my first station, and I used to sing there and did a little bit of comedy. And I was in the ordinary RAF for about 3 years. And then came an opportunity to go into the RAF gang shows with Ralph Reeder, which was, of course, the, one of the turning points in my show business career, shall we say.
Yes, and that's when you started comicking.
Yes, I had to comic then, my goodness me. I had 14 changes a show.
What happened when the war was over?
I was still in the gang show. Because, fortunately for all of us, you know, coming out of the RAF, what does one do? You know, some of them go to, if they've been apprenticed electricians, they would get a job. But if we hadn't had gang show to come out to, there'd have been nothing.
Yes.
And Ralph Reeder devised the what we call the Civvy Street gang show. And we all got together a whole load of units. You know, each gang show was comprised of 12 men. There were about 25 units in all.
Mm.
And they sort of got the best from all of them and produced a show. We opened up in Blackpool, the Opera House, great success. And then finally came, after a small tour, came down to the Stowell Theatre and played there about 6 or 7 months.
Who else was in the company?
Reg Dixon, Cardi Robinson, Dick Emery. Oh, to name but a few.
What a card.
Yes.
And then what?
then we then Ralph produced a show with girls, much to our delight, you know, having been through the war years without any girls in the show. And we opened up in Blackpool in a show called Out of the Blue. Little Jeannie Carson was in this show.
Oh, yes.
Great friends we are. She married a great friend of mine called Bill Lowe, whose real name is Bill Redmond, and he was a double act called Lennon Bill Lowe.
Mm.
And we had a very happy time in that show. Marvellous.
Then you had a spell at the Windmill, 6 shows a day.
6 shows a day at the
Windmill. How long for?
36 weeks altogether.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a great grounding, a great great training.
You began to do a lot of radio quite soon after that.
Oh, yes. I did radio with Peter Sellers. And then we come to a turning point in my career when Peter Brough, who's a very great friend of mine, asked me to do... the Educating Artist series with him.
Mm-hmm. When did you start doing television?
Well, I started immediately after the Educating Artist series with Peter Brough, because he put on an Educating Artist on telly.
Mm-hmm.
Then I did a television series called Two's Company with Libby Morris, which kept me out of television for nearly 2 years.
It came unstuck,
didn't it? Oh, I came unstuck. They said this boy could never hold a show on his own. A big man said this. No. So I didn't do anything except little bits. Then I gradually got back into it. And the first thing that started turning the corner, I had a meeting with Michael Bentine along the road. 3 o'clock in the morning, and a voice yelled at me, "Hello, Dick." And I looked over, and there was dear Michael Bentine. I said, "Where have you been?" He said, "I've been in Australia for 2 years, and I've come back, and I mentioned my name, and they keep saying who, because they've forgotten all about me." And he said, "I'm so determined to get the name going again, I want to start a series on television. Would you like to come in? It's only a little sort of 25-minute thing with Clive Dunn, and a fellow by the name of Dick Lester is going to produce it, direct it," which, of course, is Richard Lester, the famous film producer now. And so we started this little series. We used to rehearse 2 afternoons a week and say, "Well, so, this is a jolly good idea. And let's do something sitting in a tank of water. Right-o, well-o." And we'd do this show, and we called it After Hours, and it was a great success up north. They didn't show it down south. Then there was a little break after that. That was quite successful. For the whole thing, not for any individual particularly.
Yes.
Then came a break, and I got into the army game.
Oh, you had a long run in that, didn't
oh,
you?
Oh, yes. This enabled me to learn to fly. That's... I don't think it did me very much good as an artist, the army game. But at least I was in London for 40 weeks, earning jolly good money, and I thought, now is the time I'm going to have a go at flying, and I learned to fly. Of course, the best way to learn anything, I think, is to do it consecutively, you know, week after week rather than once a month type thing. And I learnt to fly in about 39 hours.
And after?
After that, then Michael Bentine came to me again and said the BBC want to start another series. And he called it The Square World.
Yes.
Now, this really was a turning point. This is where I came into my own, because Michael started writing things for me, and everything he wrote was me. The lovely old characters that come out today, the old boys especially, were written by Michael in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And this really started me off on my own series.
Now, away from show business,
yeah.
Your interest, you still fly your own plane?
Yes.
To and from engagements?
Oh, yes, occasionally, weather permitting, you know, yes. The weather in this country's like.
What else do you do?
Well, anything to do with machinery, the control of machinery, fast cars. I've taken up motor racing recently.
Have you?
I'm undergoing instruction at the moment. Mm. And that's very interesting, very absorbing, and quite safe, you know, really.
Is it?
Oh, it is. I mean, there's tremendous instruction on safety, on the safe way of going around a bit. And, you know, I've only had a couple of lessons, and it's improved my driving no end. And I'm a driving instructor. You know, I've been a driving instructor. Mm.